Do you realize that the full benefit of the Christian gospel is available only to those who accept and follow the Bible? The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ remains largely unknown so far as our public is concerned. I know that people commonly think, well, they know about the Christian church, and they know about Christianity, and they talk about they know about Christians and so on. And yet I'm going to suggest to you today, as we look at this passage of Scripture we have in mind, that people really do not understand. There are very few people that really know what the Christian gospel really is setting out. We're going to be looking in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, and you might open your Bibles at that point, chapter 8, verses 28 to 32. And I'm going to try and help you to see what the writer has set forth for us here. As we think about this, let me say again that many people will approve the Christian church as a good idea, as a community project, but that's not what it's all about. Many people will look upon the Bible as being good literature, but that's not why the Bible was written. Sometimes people will think about Sunday school work and young people's work, our Christian education work, as good projects so far as the children are concerned, the young people are concerned. But that's not why we're carrying it on. Many will approve Christian ethics, and they will talk about Christian ethics as if they were superior to any other kind of ethics in the world. And I do not doubt that that may possibly be so, but that's not the meaning of Christianity. Some will even claim that the theology of the Christian church is superior from the standpoint of thinking, and that the truth that is set forth in the Christian church is the real truth, and that it can be established by philosophical grounds. That may or may not be true to one person or to another, but that's not really the meaning of the Christian gospel. Others will even think that the gospel is a good idea because it will deliver the human and the personal element and aspect of living from its own weaknesses. And while there is a sense in which that's true, it still doesn't come to what the real truth of the gospel is. For instance, some will look at verse 32. And if you look down in this section, at the very end of the section in chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 28 to 32. And some people will look at that 32nd verse, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then they'll take that out into the university, and they'll take it on the university campus. They'll suggest that that's going to be true in physics, that's going to be true in chemistry. They'll suggest that's going to be true in mathematics. And they'll suggest that that's going to be true perhaps in philosophy or something of that nature. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's not where it was intended at all. Now, when you quote this particular passage in secular research, it's just so many words. It may be what you mean, it may be what you're trying to emphasize, doesn't have any power. Whatever may be true, generally, in everything that I have sketched to you, but all this, there is a sense in which everything that I have said has an aspect. It's true that the Christian church is good in the community, that the Bible is good literature. It's true that Sunday school and young people's work, Christian education work, is good for the young people. I do believe that Christian ethics are superior, and I do think that the truth of the Christian gospel will actually is the best way to see things, and that will actually deliver the human personal being from his own weakness. I believe all that, and yet all that is beside the point. That's not really what Jesus Christ came to accomplish. Let's put it this way. The great truth about Jesus Christ is something like this. His life was not lived as any other man's life was lived. Now, this is a place where you need to take firm hold. In our day and time, we're hearing so much about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you right now that while he did have a human body, and he did limit himself to our human size and to our human experiences, and was tested in all points like as we are, although he was without sin. While that's all true, yet the actual fact of the matter is that the Lord Jesus did not live his human aspect. He did not live the life of Jesus of Nazareth the way in which human beings ordinarily live their life. Because the Lord Jesus could say, even as Jesus of Nazareth, even in the human form, the Lord Jesus could say this, I do nothing of myself. Now, what other person do you see that you can say that about? God was in him all the time, and God was with him all the time. His life and his death were not the consequence of human beings dealing with him, and they were not his own choices. They were God's idea. God sent him into this world. God guided him and directed him, and God eventually brought him face to face with the crucifixion. The life of Christ, mediated as it is to us by Jesus, can be understood at Calvary. And this is what he says. And you will notice here he says in verse 28, if you look at verse 28, he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Now, when you look at that, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, that, of course, we all generally understand that refers to his death by crucifixion, and they lifted him up on the cross. Now, the sense in which it is true that when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, is that at the time of the crucifixion, the whole truth became clear. And what was the whole truth? That the Lord Jesus went to the cross not as his own idea, that he went in there doing the will of his Father, but that's not all. The fact of the matter is that when he died on the cross, he was raised from the dead. And that's part of the significance of the cross of Calvary. He himself promised that if they would destroy the temple of his body, he would rebuild it in 3 days. Told them that long before. And here he promises, and he promised with reference to people who would see him, that in him the truth will be made manifest. This is where the word truth comes in. And that this is the truth. Now, what actually was made manifest at the cross of Calvary? Not just in the dying alone, but in that whole incident of Calvary's cross. What actually was revealed to the world in an astonishing way? God would raise him from the dead. And what that means, so far as the world as a whole is concerned, is God will intervene so far as this life is concerned. This was actually the secret of the whole message of Jesus Christ. God will intervene. He will take a hand in the affairs of men wherever they put their trust in him. Now, this is exactly what you're to understand. And it begins, so far as we're concerned and from a human point of view, with his death on Calvary's cross. Until that time, you might even think that you could see him as a human being, doing astonishing things, I know, but as you follow him along, you still compare him with other good human beings, and you think of him as being like this one or like that one. You move along, move along, move along. I know that miracle of him eventually being raised from the dead, that would be very important. I realize that. But as you see him, you're to understand that when he died on Calvary's cross, he did not die on Calvary's cross in his own strength as a human being. He did not die on Calvary's cross because human beings put him there. He did not die on Calvary's cross because there wasn't anything else he could do. He was shut up to it. He died on Calvary's cross as a maneuver on his part, a procedure to follow, because he was going to raise us from the dead. In other words, you can put it this way. He died in order to be raised from the dead. And the big thing that the Lord Jesus is demonstrating at Calvary's cross is he is not in this thing as a human being alone. That's the great big truth of the gospel. Look at verse 29. When he said in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. You could pick up that 29th verse and look at it. That is the Christian life. That is living in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it again. He that sent me is with me, never alone. God always with him. The Father hath not left me alone. And by the way, the Lord Jesus used this kind of language in the 14th chapter of John, in the 15th chapter of John, when he tells about coming to be with his disciples. He says, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. And here's the same expression. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please my Father. Here is the great truth that's being pushed forward, is that God is in and with his Son. And this is what he will be with us. Now look at verses 30 and 32. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is this truth that you're going to know? The truth that God will be in you. Believing on him means much more than just believing the record. It's a little bit like riding in a boat. You could say that if you had been swimming in the lake, and then you'd say that a boat came along and helped me out, and you got in the boat to ride in the boat. You probably will realize right away that if you're going to get any benefit from riding in the boat, you'll have to stay in it. You got in, I know. You crawled in one time, yes. Now stay in the boat that you got into. Or, for instance, it's like this. It's like a person living on a milk diet. And they say, well, I just now I'm on a special diet. I just drink milk. So that's said. Then what? You keep on drinking it. You drink it, and you drink it, and you drink it, and you drink it. Yes, you're on a milk diet. Well, then drink it. So you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then believe in him. How do you get to believe in him? By the word of God. You read the Bible and it told you about the Lord Jesus Christ and you believed. All right. Now read the Bible and study the Bible and follow through in the Bible and these things will come on through to you. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to continue in the word that we may know the truth and the truth shall set us free. Above everything else, help us to grasp this tremendous truth that in Christ Jesus we receive God himself in our souls. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.